Ready?
Going.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is July 18th, 2022, and this is the regular meeting of the Curie Beach Town Council. Welcome to Council Chambers. And a call to order. John, will you please help us with the invocation?
Certainly. Please join me in prayer. Dear wise and loving Father, thank you on behalf of all who are gathered here today. Thank you for the many and abundant blessings. We thank you for life itself and for the measure of help that we need to fulfill our callings for sustenance and for friendship. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work, for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. In the scriptures, you have said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities. Since you have established those very authorities to promote peace, order, and justice. I pray for our mayor and for the various levels of city council, and in particular for this assembled council. I'm asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times, a sense of the welfare and true needs of our people, a keen thirst for justice and righteousness, confidence in what is good and fitting, the ability to work together in harmony, even where there is honest disagreement, personal peace in their lives and joy in their task. I pray for the agenda set before us today, and please give us assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beloved town of Curie Beach. It is in your most blessed name I pray. Amen.
Please join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have Commissioner David Hegler is on the telephone. He is attending the meeting. He is out for personal business, but he will be with us on
the phone.
Okay. Commissioners, please take a look at the consent agenda and let me know if there are any recommended changes to the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of accepting the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Consent agenda approved. Moving on to the adoption of the meeting agenda. Please review the meeting agenda and tell me if there are any additions or changes recommended by the council.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to accept the agenda as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Agenda is accepted. Okay, moving on to public comment. We have the first individual signed up is Chris Peterson of Atlantic Avenue. One thing I do want to mention is that we use 3 minutes per.
Yes,
one
time.
Sorry, 3 minutes.
Okay. I wonder why it's 47 pair of reading clock. Yeah. So. Celebrating my 52nd summer here at Curie Beach, everyone. Gentlemen of the council, in mid-June, we received a notification letter to abutters on Atlantic Avenue that the town was applying for the CAMA to replace the boardwalk with a 10-foot wide ground level concrete sidewalk, and in the process, deleting the planted bed that had been a necessary and effective buffer to the roadway. We were shocked and dismayed. The specifics in the application completely misrepresented the considered vision of the community at large as regards the two-block boardwalk and included in the bicycle pedestrian master plan. In that plan is the declaration of the boardwalk's importance to its community, and I quote, one of Curie Beach's most recognizable and iconic features. Also in that plan, the maintenance concerns were well vetted with suggestions of upgraded materials, etc., as a guide. You totally ignored that guidance. Rather, you chose to base your application specifics on the requests of the maintenance crew that it be a concrete sidewalk. Your actions and feeble explanations forced our response into an adversarial mode to do our own due diligence because you failed to do yours. That's no way to conduct town business. Further, if the need to rush was because of a valid reason to beat some deadline, you should have involved the community by simply calling a special meeting. There was time. So easy and so appropriate. Your actions blatantly defied the tenet of transparency and governance. In Mayor Blazinski's letter to the community, he writes of clearing the air with better communication. I respect that. But several of his pronouncements as your intended next steps give me further concern. In his opening sentence, he states your intent to re-engineer the existing boardwalk. What happened to your explanations that your actions were driven by the need of repairs and maintenance? The mayor mentions twice your intended next steps to develop a specific plan, an inclusive plan, then presenting it to the community for input and discussion, but afterwards. I quote again, the boardwalk belongs to the entire town, so the plan will go to the community for comment using the charrette process, a collaborative planning process. With all due respect, your intent is backwards. I'm a fan of the charrette process. I have been privileged to participate in that collaborative process several times in my community involvements elsewhere. I sit in the same seat you do in my own home community. First, you have sufficient discussions and input from all interested parties. Only then do you draw up a plan which in turn can be used as needed for more future critiquing, then finalized and executed. That is what is considered inclusive. You should have benefited by your own experience of that process. I respectfully submit that the permit application be denied. I respectfully suggest that we can start afresh, address this issue of such importance to our town together, to vet each issue carefully and thoroughly, and to assure a best outcome. Most sincerely, Chris Peterson and my mother, Carol Peterson. Thank you for your time this evening, and thank you for your service this time.
Thank you. Next, we have Maureen Dentino from 317 4th Avenue, Curie Beach.
So we're rather new to the area. We bought our house 2 years ago. I'm not new to North Carolina. I've been here most of my life, and I have visited Curie on many, many occasions. I come from Grifton, North Carolina, and Curie is known as one of the finest beaches in our state. I also was doing research on the boardwalk, and it is one of the nicest in the Atlantic coast. That being said, I don't see how your reasoning in ripping out what is existing is going to be more cost effective to put in a huge cement runway, as I call it, multi-purpose. The boardwalk existing now is already multi-purpose. There are strollers, children, couples, movies. It's so multifaceted that I just don't fathom ripping out the one that's existing rather than continuing to repair it is going to be more beneficial to the area than putting in the cement one. Along those lines, if you speak of finances and money, then how much money has been put into the vegetation, the mulch, the bushes, maintaining, the fence? And then to go further into that, are you going to go on your side of the dunes? You're going to go into the dunes so that you can make this wherever how long you're going to have it wide and long. I mean, you're going to destroy so many little animals' homes. There's nature there. You have the, like I said, the vegetation, the flora, the fauna. You have the dunes. I probably won't use all my 3 minutes, but I'm just making my point, which is I believe we should keep what we have, continue to repair it, continue to do maintenance, and forego the cement or the concrete. My time's up for me, but not my father. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak and to address my concerns.
Thank you very much for speaking. Now we have somebody I guess you know pretty well, Tom Dentino.
Hey, we've been here for a couple of years. This is a wonderful place, and I appreciate all of the maintenance workers, the police, the fire, all of you. You built a great town here, and I am an avid cyclist. I have more money invested in bicycles than I think than you can imagine. And I ride bikes like every day. I have different types. I have e-bikes, I have regular bikes, and I love to ride bikes. I always try to stay away from very congested areas where there is a shared area, like where you can walk and you can roller skate and you can rollerblade and you can take your skateboard and your bicycle. It's a recipe for disaster. So this short area, it's going to be very congested. I just feel like this is not a great place to have bicycles. As a matter of fact, if I wanted to do something, I would actually restrict and not let bicycles on the boardwalk, not let skateboards, not let skateboards or rollerblades on the actual boardwalk. It's like when you mix wheels with foot traffic, it's always a recipe for disaster. The bicycles can travel much faster, and they cannot maneuver as quickly as somebody who's walking, so it's very easy to run somebody over. So I do love bicycles. I would love to see bike paths through the whole town. I would love to have a bike path to go, all the way from one end of the island to the other. I think that's fabulous, but I don't see the value in having a very short span of a mixed-use boardwalk. Whatever the material is made out of, I feel like, we should really restrict it just to foot traffic for the benefit of people that either come here as tourists or the people that live here. You're walking on the beach. I really don't like seeing bicycles on the beach. I absolutely don't like these new high-powered electric bikes on the beach. I have one. I do not ride on the beach. It's very dangerous when you start mixing bicycles with foot traffic. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your service.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Howard Ames at 317 Fourth Avenue, North, I'm sorry, at Atlantic Avenue.
Exactly.
I mean, I know where you live, Howard. It's just a matter that I was on the wrong line there. So what do you have to say tonight?
Well, tonight, as I see it, there are two main concepts that the town is trying to address regarding the boardwalk. First is the overall condition of the boardwalk. So things like replacing the wood, composite, or concrete we discussed, as well as possible slight widening of the boardwalk. The second is the actual transformation of our terminal boardwalk into a multi-use path for the express purpose of satisfying bicyclists. In my opinion, for many reasons, this two-block area would not meet the definition of a multi-use path per NCDOT description. Not to mention that it would make the Atlantic Avenue area less safe for pedestrians and bicyclists by trying to bring in hordes of bicyclists south from the proposed path of the Bike Path Committee into the LTK Indoor Arena, which is extremely busy and almost circus-like at this point. Now, this horde of bicyclists, as it comes down to L Avenue, meets cars parking, kids running out of the park, families walking to and from the beach with their wagons, fishermen with their rods and cars, people coming out of the pier storm restaurants. We've just created a disaster. In addition, part of the reason the boardwalk was created in the first place was to act as a pedestrian path to the beach walkers. After all, it should be a safe space for pedestrians. There are no reported problems. We might create some. Point is, let's talk about what to do with the boardwalk regarding its condition and immediately get rid of the concept of a multi-use path. The Bike Path Committee did an admirable job in creating a large plan, but I believe their work on the boardwalk and Atlantic Avenue was misguided with faulty logic. They're trying to combine two issues into one, and it doesn't work here. They want to put a path in the dunes for bicycles and pedestrians when all bicyclists know that unless you have sand fires, bikes and sand don't mix well. Mr. Mayor, you mentioned in your email to the Curry Beach residents about going through the charrette process. Well, according to one of the early creators of the charrette, Bill Riddick, as well as the National Charrette Institute, all interested parties and stakeholders should be actively participating from the beginning. Handing the residents a plan created by the Bike Path Committee and then asked to only comment on it is not a charrette. During the short charrette phase, all parties work deeply together to formulate the plan. Even when the charrette is complete, the product is not this further refinement with stakeholder discussions and follow-up meetings. So I challenge you all to create a true charrette and have all interested parties actively involved by even possibly a form committee from the beginning. One last thing. Let's not forget about the film industry, which is greatly expanding in our area. Let's get beneath the obvious. It's not the revenue the town gets for just a few days of filming us here. It's much more than that. As noted by one of the top people in the local film industry, it's all about film-induced tourism. That's when hundreds, if not thousands, of vacationers come here to walk the boardwalk and see the other sites they view on TV or the movies. That could amount to hundreds of thousands of tourist dollars that are spent here each year. This has been well studied and documented by the film industry. So please open your eyes and listen to a diverse group of people besides just a small community. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Eames. And 233 Atlantic Avenue, Susan Sewell. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right.
Hello,
thank you.
Again, thank you for letting me speak. I'm not having written a formal letter, but I just want to say, like Chris said, I feel like that now we've been threatened as a community, and the town has forced us to do due diligence, and we are digging deep and deep every day, and we have uncovered a lot more things that we anticipated. So I'm going to try to stay calm because I've sort of passed being friendly. I'm really frustrated and upset about all this. I have been working with the local office in Wrightsville Beach of the North Carolina, or the Wrightsville Beach Office of North Carolina Coastal Federation. I've become much more versed in coastal preservation as well as stormwater runoff. This is a huge deal and will affect that, especially stormwater runoff, in a huge way for our community. I have spoken at length with Johnny Griffin. As Howard mentioned, he is the director at the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. And I'm going to give you a couple of quotes that he shared with me. They chose Kira Beach because it's a uniqueness. They chose it because you can walk along the boardwalk and see the ocean. They film at Fort Fisher because of the rocks. And a lot of their shows, such as Hightown, that they're filming now and continuing to film, is based in New England. And this is the only place on the coast of North Carolina that has that same look that they can film here and still be appropriate for New England, which is where the show is set. He said, and I quote, "If the boardwalk is removed and changed with anything else of what the iconic wooden is, that while it would be enough to move a $500 million project to another state, they would not be filming in Kira Beach anymore for the boardwalk scenes. This is huge." He shared with me kind of it's film tourism. It's kind of a phenomenon. It's been studied for years. I personally owned a retail store in downtown Wilmington. I saw it every day. It brings so many tourists to communities that spend money in restaurants, stay in hotels, want their picture taken, come to businesses. Hey, was it filmed here? Hey, did this movie star come? It's huge, and it happened to me, I would say, weekly over 5 years, and it directly impacted my business and the revenue that came in my business. We have unique assets. Last year in 2021 was the best film year in the history of Wilmington. They don't know if 2022 will be the same, but he said it would be very close. So the last thing I want to see is for filming to stop coming to Kira Beach because of this ridiculous project that the town is proposing to do. There's a petition going around. Last time I looked was earlier today. There's 460 signatures or maybe a few more. If I remember correctly, the last time we had our election, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Pro Tem, the combined votes for both of you, I know you ran unopposed, were less than 460. I might be wrong, but if it's not less, it's pretty darn close. So I've never been in politics. I have no desire to be part of politics. But let me just say, maybe I should run for mayor or town council with a slogan that says, save our iconic and beautiful community, save our boardwalk the way it is. It's not funny what I'm saying.
No, I'm smiling. You are more than welcome to run for mayor.
Thank you. But I appreciate you allowing me to say this and do that. But furthermore, I'll have that slogan. So let's say there's 20% of the people in this community, I'll be 20% that are for removing the current boardwalk, you know, the 80%. Where do you think those votes are going to happen for me or somebody else that wants to run in this town? Again, okay. I have no desire to run for office, nor have I ever, but that's something that we all need to be thinking about here as this project moves forward.
Okay, we're actually done with the 3 minutes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And you can certainly come into town hall and speak to any one of us as long as you like.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
There's
sir.
3 minutes here, but you were available.
Thank you.
Okay. We have no other individuals signed up for the moment. But we do have a few residents who would like to have their material read into the meeting minutes.
Yeah, this is from Mr. Bob and Christy McAllen, 221 Atlantic Avenue. Dear Ms. Sanders, this is all addressed to our town clerk. It's been brought to our attention that there is a proposal for an Atlantic Avenue sidewalk permit. This letter is to outline that we are opposed to the request for permit and we request it be denied. We have significant concerns regarding safety, aesthetics, environment, as well as flooding that could impact our home and our community. We support bike safety and bike ride and our bikes along Atlantic Avenue weekly. Being a resident of the street, we often see cyclists riding up and down the street and have not seen anyone at risk that could be solved for the proposed permit. This solution will only endanger current residents, guests using the boardwalk, negatively impact our environment within the beach, and also increase unnecessary risk to our homes. If there is an additional need for cyclist safety, then I would recommend expanding the established bike path from Caroline Beach to Curie Beach or increasing the number of stop signs along Atlantic Avenue to provide impact. As homeowners on Atlantic Avenue, we respectfully ask the permit to be denied to preserve our home community in Curie Beach. In kind regards, Bob and Christy McAllen, 221 Atlantic Avenue, Unit B, Curie Beach. This is from Diane Webster. She is the co-owner of 301 Atlantic Avenue in Curie Beach. The house has been in my family since 1973. It's on the Federal Point Registry. I write to this council to express my vehement opposition to the proposal of changing the wooden boardwalk to a dangerous impervious concrete 8 or 10 feet wide path. It has not been made clear to me why the proposal is even being made, although I can see references being made to the cost of maintenance, a foreseeable expense when it was built. There are also references to alleviating traffic on Fort Fisher Boulevard to catering and to catering to bicyclists. So I would like an explanation as to the reasons for even giving this unnecessary, expensive, and dangerous plan. I spent countless days observing the use on the current boardwalk and primarily used by people walking, often with their children using strollers. The idea of having bicyclists weaving around, walking adults, and children on the proposed bike path is beyond scary. It is a train wreck waiting to happen. I have nothing to say against the people who want to ride bicycles on Atlantic Avenue. They often do this, and I have never seen any problems with bicyclists and cars sharing the road. However, pedestrians sharing the lane with bicyclists while vehicles on the same level is clearly dangerous. There are many other factors besides safety that dictate that this proposal should not be approved by the town council. Excess water accumulation, which already occurs at the intersection of Atlantic and M Avenue after a thunderstorm, impact on the beautiful dunes that have taken many years to form, bollards to separate the street from the pathway would look hideous. People rent on Atlantic Avenue precisely because of its tranquil oceanfront area conducive to taking a stroll, not to watch a parade of vehicles, bicycles, and pedestrians all trying to avoid each other. The town will lose income from summer rentals if it proceeds, and the plan will ruin the aesthetics of the area. If growing is the reason for the proposal, what studies have been conducted for the saturation point of the town from increased visitors? Will the town need to increase its insurance for inevitable lawsuits resulting from injuries at the site? I could go on and on as to why this plan should be rejected, but I won't. Please, please consider moving forward with this project that is so dangerous and so visually unappealing that will cost so much money and that is a contradiction to the Curie Beach Land Use Plan. Respectfully submitted, Diane Webster. All right, this one is from Dan and Marty O'Sullivan. They live in 4701 Berlini Drive in Durham, North Carolina. We have recently been made aware of the Town Council of Curie Beach considering a concrete path with bollards to replace the iconic and beautiful boardwalk. As a frequent visitor to Curie Beach, I will let you know our opposition to the plan. The current boardwalk is lovely to look at and a pleasure to walk on with the ocean view of the ocean. It is enjoyed by families, groups, singles, and pets who stroll all together on their way to the pier and the pavilion. Replacing the boardwalk with concrete will be an eyesore, and Curie Beach will lose much of its beach town atmosphere. The boardwalk is a big draw to Curie Beach and is enjoyed by everyone. Replacing the boardwalk with concrete path at street level may be an environmental disaster. Water from tropical storms or hurricanes could cause greater flooding, and the fragile dunes would be exposed to more erosion. At least an environmental impact study is needed before moving forward with significant non-pervious surface. A wider path to accommodate walkers and bikers is not necessary in our opinion. Presently, walkers do not have to worry about bikers coming up behind them, hitting them, their children, or leashed pets. Atlantic Avenue is one-way street from a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit, which is perfectly fine for cars, golf carts, and bicycles to share. We have stayed on oceanfront on Atlantic Avenue several times. We have never seen a problem with bikes sharing the road with vehicles. Atlantic Avenue is not congested, even at the busiest times of the year. Bicycles should not be allowed on the boardwalk, and we rarely see anyone trying that. We've always enjoyed a few strolls on the boardwalk when visiting Curie Beach. A total tear down and replacement of a concrete path is a bad plan for the town vibe and for environment. There are other options for repair and maintenance of the boardwalk that should be considered. Save Curie Beach Boardwalk. Sincerely. All right, let's see. All right, this one is from, I don't know where he's from, but he's David Burpo, and please read this in. I'm respectfully writing you to request that the DCM reject the CAMA minor permit number 2205 from the town of Curie Beach to replace the current boardwalk with a ground level sidewalk. The application submitted by John Batson, authorized agent by the town of Curie Beach on June 8, 2022, and modified on July 7, 2022, specifically describes the description of the project as the following: to remove the old rotten boardwalk and replace the 8-foot wide ground level sidewalk. The line item on this application specifically requests the applicant to list all proposed construction disturbances. This gentleman has he has cut and pasted a lot of the things I've already mentioned that's actually in the permit itself, so I'm going to skip that. It's talking about the 8-foot wide sidewalk. The town of Curie Beach public meeting on June 20th, Mayor Bozinski addressed the public in attendance. Improvements to the oceanfront boardwalk, we didn't want to talk about that tonight. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to why we're here. John, Mayor Audio. John Batson, the big question I kept hearing about was safety from pedestrians and cars coming down the road. On all talks so far, there has been lots of discussion about placing bollards about every 6 feet down the road. So cars being able to access the walkway would certainly be possible if they wanted to tear up a car, but ultimately would be a deterrent. John Batson, Audio. According to the statement made by John Batson in the public meeting, with all town council president, one member virtually, it is apparent that discussions have occurred in regard to addressing safety concerns with the proposed ground level sidewalk by placing bollards every 6 feet. The fact was omitted from the camera minor permit, which requires that the applicant list all proposed construction and land disturbance. The application also states the following. The application includes general information, a site drawing describing the back of the application, owner statement, AEC hazard statement, a check for $100 made payable to the locality, and any information may be provided by the applicant. The details and application as described sources are incorporated without reference, and any permit may be issued. Deviation from all these details will constitute a violation of any permit. An example of an 8-10 ground level sidewalk with bollards every 6 feet Ballers are not listed on the application. However, Mr. Batson stated as to discuss the address of safety issues involving vehicles and pedestrians. We have several pictures here that he provided, and then sincerely. So there's that one. I've got a few more, Mr. Mayor.
All right.
So this is from Jim and Becca Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. Hello, we are not able to attend today's meeting, but we'd like to submit our opinion on the concerned ongoing discussion about the repair and replacement of the boardwalk. We have been visiting Curie for over 17 years, and we were lucky enough to be able to retire here full-time last summer. Over the last years, we have seen some great improvements, in particular the Oceanfront Park, raised wooden boardwalk, and landscaping. It is a joy for us to walk and bike the familiar path, most days. The thought that wood would be replaced with concrete is so disappointing. While the obvious that the current wood boardwalk needs replacing is less city-fied material, would be certain help maintain the ambiance and the charm of our oceanfront. I hope the council will consider all alternatives to concrete. Jim and Becca Cuddy. They do not list their address. This is from Terry and Patty McHugh, the owners of 221 Atlantic Avenue, Unit A. We appreciate the letter the mayor recently posted on town's website regarding the Atlantic Avenue boardwalk. While this letter did clarify several matters, we remain opposed to the proposed 8-foot wide concrete sidewalk with Atlantic Avenue between L and N Avenue. The multi-use concrete sidewalk will create dangerous environment. Families with strollers and young children on their way to the park appear, and those carrying surfboards, boogie boards, and the beach goers laden with chairs, umbrellas, tents, coolers, kids would now have to avoid bicycles, scooters, skateboards, and other boarders and hover boarders utilizing the narrow ribbon of concrete. The current width of the Atlantic boardwalk accommodates pedestrian traffic quite well and does not require widening. The only choke point we have observed is where the vegetation along the Atlantic Avenue is allowed to extend over the boardwalk. This is a landscaping maintenance issue that should be addressed by the town. Atlantic Avenue is slow speed, one-way street. Cyclists are able to negotiate safely along the road in either direction without the difficulty and without creating a dangerous situation with pedestrians using the boardwalk. Regards, Terry and Patty McHugh. This is from Kathy Warren Shepherd. Hello, I'm a full-time resident of Atlantic Avenue in Curie Beach. I'm concerned about the changes to the boardwalk that are being planned, that are in the planning stages. I appreciate your openness and the alternative ideas to a ground level 10-foot concrete multi-use bike bed path. I noticed the need for a bike rack at the beach access, as well as refurbishing those as well. A handicap ramp and a landing area at N Avenue would also be a priority. With the hundreds of people vacationing on our beach north of the pier, certainly a couple extra Porta Johns at N Avenue access are necessary. If only were temporary May to September. I am spotlighting N Avenue as the only public parking on the oceanfront, orthodox of L Avenue. I invite you to come sit on the front porch of America, my family home at 421 Atlantic Avenue, to observe the vast number of beachgoers, walkers, and joggers, and a few cars and bikers, and the lovely roses and native plants that line the lovely boardwalk along the sea. This is truly a unique boardwalk enjoyed by the public. We would like to keep it the welcoming feeling. Thank you, Kathy Warren Shepherd. Oh, I have two more short ones, sir. This is from Edward and Deborah Galif. Excuse me if I mispronounced that. G-A-L-A-N-I-F. 1100 Fort Fisher Boulevard South. Both the widening of the Curie Beach boardwalk and especially changing the surface from wood planking to concrete is an unsuitable project and diminishes the character and the beauty of the beachfront. that the town of Cary Beach has funds, especially with paid parking fees, to upkeep the current boardwalk. The residents of Cary Beach need to have a forum to discuss the matter, as it appears that a majority of the residents are against the project. Cary Beach is unique among the beaches in Wilmington, and design will improve the beauty. Cary Beach is unique among the beaches in Wilmington, and this design will improve the beauty and uniqueness. Finally, it appears that Cary Beach leadership thinks that concrete surface in itself will not require upkeep and replacement, but it will crack, sink, and age over time. Please consider a proposal that will, in the very least, extend the permit application deadline so more voices can be heard and a potential for an alternative can be found. This is from Jerry Nodlin, N-O-L-D-I-N. My husband and I are residents of Carolina Beach and moved here because of the quaintness of the beautiful area. It is very sad that the town wants to put concrete. This path is loved by residents and visitors, and the area is so historic to do this will take away that look. The path makes you feel like you're on vacation in your own home, and especially near the natural preservation of the sand dunes. Seems like many people are up in arms about this idea, and it's time you all listen. Residents have to say, and are speaking loud, no to concrete. Thank you. That's all, sir.
That's it. Okay, so those will become part of the meeting record. Moving on now to presentations. Mr. Buckland? Lisa, nice to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you for having us.
Craig, is my son working at his daddy yet?
Can you hear David?
Yeah, we can hear.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Well, again, we appreciate your time and having us here today. As Tim mentioned, Commissioner Barco could not be here, but we do have a team of folks to talk about the 0.25% sales tax for transportation that will be on the November ballot to educate you all on what it looks like, potential uses, and those sorts of things. So, with me today, we have Marie Parker with Wave Transit. We have Kara Duckworth with the County's Parks and Gardens. We have Aubrey Parsley, who is with the City of Wilmington, Mike Zablowski with WNPO, and Tim as well. There we go. So first of all, just kind of leading off and talking about the various benefits for the sales tax. A 0.25% sales tax, again, has to be used for public transportation purposes, but that's a little broad. So we can use it for things such as enhancing trail connectivity, improving pedestrian safety, connecting people to jobs and education. It contributes to a better community health by allowing for bike and ped paths, reduces environmental impacts, in addition to ensuring greater access and mobility for all the residents within the county.
Would you prefer questions at the end or as we go through?
As we go through, okay. It'll be fine as well. So just as background, I'm sure that you all are already aware, but we have a 7% sales tax within New Hanover County. 4.75% of that is the state rate, and 2.25% is the local sales tax rate. What this additional 0.25% means is essentially for every $100, the sales tax would increase by 25 cents. So if you make a $100 purchase, as opposed to paying $7 in sales tax, you would pay $7.25.
The benefit to a sales tax as opposed to a property tax is that it's really paid by everyone. It's paid by not just residents who live here, but also by commuters who come here and shop. It's paid by visitors who come and stay in hotels and VRBOs. So it's paid by anyone who is shopping here in Hanover County and purchasing goods. It essentially applies to all of the things that we already pay sales tax on. So groceries are exempt, food is exempt, prescriptions are exempt. What this means for our community essentially is an average of $14 million a year. That's an average over 10 years, $144 million in total over 10 years, but the $14 million is an average. Factoring in some growing percentages as well. But again, it can be used for our bus systems, sidewalks, bike and ped paths, all of those sorts of things. And in addition to just having these dollars to use on this purpose, we can also leverage grant funding with these dollars. So these funds could be used for matching for a particular grant, so it can have an even bigger impact on transportation improvements.
Actually, we'll get to those questions, I think, at the conclusion.
Oh, sorry, I thought she went along.
She did say that, but I think there might be some answers in here.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yes, I know you're speaking to us, but we'll open it up later.
And so, again, this will be on the November 8th ballot for voters to consider. If it does pass, then there is still another step. The Board of Commissioners has to pass a resolution to actually levy those taxes. So there are more steps besides just the referendum. So staff got together with the subject matter experts that you'll see in the room to talk about what sorts of things we could utilize this funding for and what that might look like in terms of dollars. So we narrowed it down to three buckets. And looking at a 10-year time frame, we've got about 45% of the sales tax over 10 years is about $65 million would go to wave transit for transportation. 39% or approximately $56 million would go to bike and ped paths within the city, the county, and the beach town. And then 16% or roughly $23 million would go to assist with the rail realignment project. We do have Marie here to talk about the projects for wave transit, Mike and Tara to talk about the bike and ped paths, and Aubrey to talk about the rail realignment project. So if I can turn it over to them to talk about what those projects could look like, unless you have any specific questions for me.
How did this committee decide on those percentages?
Well, we looked at cost of various projects that we knew needed attention just to come up with an estimate. And these aren't certainly set in stone. If priorities come about, those can certainly be shifted. But this is essentially just that first 10-year vision by those subject matter experts. It has been shared with the Board of Commissioners.
I did have one question on the previous slide. There's a line that says, does not apply to items like groceries, fuel, and prescriptions. And I know we're in the government and the business of government, but as government, I don't like the government using the word like, because it's going to be like something. I want to know what it is, not what it might be and that type of thing.
Well,
regarding groceries, if I purchase a loaf of bread at a 7-Eleven and not in a grocery store, is that groceries? Would it be taxed?
I will certainly check on that for you. I would assume that it would be treated just like groceries. Obviously, prepared foods are a little different. The Department of Revenue, and the reason why we didn't list everything that is exempt, there is probably a 60-page document of all of the various things, and some of them are very random, that are exempt. And so we just put the things that we thought might be most relevant to the general public.
And back to the groceries, there's lots of things in a grocery store. You know, we consider that's a grocery store, but you can go back there in the automotive section of the grocery store and get screwdrivers and a case of oil and all those other things that I'm not going to eat. And so I would, I guess, looking at this line item, I would think there are things in a grocery store that will be taxed.
Correct. Correct.
There are things in 7-Eleven that won't be taxed.
Correct.
And my real concern is the ABC store. Is that groceries?
I'm not really sure. I'll have to look at my receipt the next time I get
there. I would think a six-pack of beer in a grocery store would be groceries. It's consumed. But I don't know if things that are purchased just in a store dealing with alcohol and spirits would be considered groceries.
Certainly, alcoholic beverages have different types of taxes that are associated.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, even more taxes.
Lisa, just budget questions, basically. If $6 million, about 45%, is going to go to WAVE, is that in addition to what WAVE already gets?
Yes.
It is, so it would be $6 million more. Who currently funds WAVE?
Right now it's funded by the federal government, state grants as well, and then the county and the city also put in funds.
Okay.
Carolina Beach, I believe, funds a small portion.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is because we do not have any WAVE routes in our town. So the rest of it becomes very important to us. So I just want to mention that to you. I know you're the representative for the county. Thank you.
Actually, the new thing that's the new project for WAVE of the quick stop with the app, what I'm trying to remember what that's for microtransit, according to the website. There's a stop in Carolina Beach, but there's also going to be one at the pier in Curie. And that comes out in stages, and that's supposed to be, we're supposed to be in the last stage to get that stop, because I've looked at that for my stepson who has autism. And so that is, it is going to be Curie Beach.
I believe they'll be getting into that, yes.
Yeah,
so,
I don't want to steal
thank you, Lisa.
Marie's thunder, but certainly
thank you. Yes, Mike, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Having walkable, bikeable communities is important for the quality of life of residents and visitors. Funds from this initiative could be used to build sidewalks, crosswalks, multi-use paths, bike lanes throughout the Curie Beach as well as the entire county. So what can these funds be used for Curie Beach? Well, they could be used to help create a more walkable and bikeable community. They could be used to help implement the Curie Beach bicycle and pedestrian plan that was recently approved by the town. Projects included or examples of projects that are included in that bike ped plan are the K Avenue crossing improvements to Fort Fisher Boulevard. There could also be used to implement projects in the MPO's adopted Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045 plan. Which looks out to 2045 and is a fiscally constrained plan for this region. Projects included in that plan include crosswalks at Fort Fisher Boulevard, South Lake Park Boulevard and North Carolina Avenue, as well as Texas Avenue. And so those are some projects that can be implemented utilizing these funds. And so I'm going to turn it over to Tara Duckworth now to talk about other projects in the city and the county.
Thank you. So just to kind of be brief on some of the things you're looking at, we thought it was always helpful for folks to kind of see what are some examples of projects, and that's kind of what we've done here. And as Lisa mentioned in the introduction, it's fluid and these priorities can change, but just to kind of take a look at the snapshot for the first 10 years, we're looking at doing expansions on the main corridors in the unincorporated Montgomery County. So North College Road, South College Road, and we've got the Cross City Trail core already in place in the city of Wilmington. So really just feeding off of the Cross City Trail. We're also looking at some improvements on Mason Road, as well as looking at some of the sidewalks in the city of Wilmington. The city has done a wonderful job of creating the cross-city trail, and so trying to implement some high corridor sidewalk areas and improving safety at intersections and things. Here on this slide, you can see some of the intersections and sidewalks and things that we've already identified, but it really just to kind of give you a snapshot. So Mike and I will answer any questions you have about BikeNet, and now we will pass it on to Marie and let her talk to you about Wayne.
I have a question. So is there going to be an allocation in the future? Is there some guarantee that we'll see some of this revenue for our projects? I mean, I know there's a list of things that are already in the works for the county, for the city. We are proposing some projects down here, but is there going to be any guarantee that some of this money can actually be used in the beach communities?
So we have not developed what the process will look like at this point, but there certainly will be a process for the county to look at all of the projects within the county, not just the unincorporated area. And it will be based on how close is the project ready to begin and those sorts of things. So our intent is that this benefits the whole county. Is that helpful?
Well, I know it's your intent and to benefit the whole county. You just want to make sure that
there will be some benefit to
our little town here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be a process to look at all of the projects.
Will we be the first county in North Carolina to have its own special transportation tax?
No.
No, there are four counties within North Carolina that already have that. And they actually, I think they all have a half a cent sales tax instead of a quarter cent. Mecklenburg, Wake, Durham, and Orange all have it.
Wake.
I think Wake has it too, don't
you? Yeah.
Doesn't Wake have it?
Yeah. Sorry.
I said, can we ask from the audience yet or no?
Actually, the presentation's for all of us. We can seek things when they're finished if you have a question.
Okay.
Good evening. I'm Aubrey Parsley with the City of Wilmington. Thank you very much again for having us here tonight. Just a couple points. For me, the first thing I'd like to point out is that transportation is very much a regional issue for the county and as well as the surrounding counties. So the first bullet here just speaks to that with some data from the census in 2019 that over 90% of the Curry Beach residents with jobs actually work outside of town limits, and the reverse is interestingly true as well, with 80% of the Curry Beach employees living outside of town limits. So there's a tremendous amount of back and forth in our county, and this is not a phenomenon that's unique to Curry Beach. We see it in Carolina Beach, we see it in Wilmington. 50% of the residents with jobs in Wilmington actually travel outside of the city to go to work every day. So that's a lot of back and forth for all of our local units of government, as well as our unincorporated residents in the county every day. So with the premise that transportation is very much a regional experience for everybody, I just want to speak very quickly about the rail realignment project. I very much recognize that it's outside of the footprint of town limits here, but at a very high level, this project seeks to create a better transportation future for our region, where the railroad that runs through town and into the North Carolina State Port in Wilmington is separated from all of our roadway assets. It eliminates 32 at-grade crossings, and it stands to benefit basically anybody that travels east-west out or into our county. So that's folks commuting between Brunswick and New Hanover, as well as many visitors that come into our area traveling east-west over the Kicker Memorial Bridge or Spelman's Bridge. To get here, everybody going east-west has to cross the railroad in a project like this, which represents 16% of the allocation for the transportation, proposed quarter cent transportation sales tax would do that and benefit the region as a whole. So let me just quickly wrap things up by saying, please feel free to log online at trailstransitnhc.com. for plenty of information about all the projects that you heard about tonight, as well as feel free to contact any of the folks and speakers that you saw up here. Our contact information is very available on the internet. The Rail Realignment website, for instance, has my cell phone, email. Feel free to ask any questions about the rail project. Happy to take any questions myself or as well as any of the other speakers that were up here previously.
Ms. Sully, you have a question?
Yes. Thank you. To expand a little further on Mr. Hegler's question about, you know, is the money truly going to be available to Curry Beach? And she mentioned, that lady mentioned, you know, there'll be a process. Y'all haven't quite figured out what that process is, you know, as how the money would be allocated. So the money that the town of Curry Beach or Carolina Beach, the town of Curry Beach pays in to this project. So what you're saying is that quarter cent amount that's paid in, so not all of that would be available back to Curry Beach. So, or is that how it calculated? Or it's just a random decision, and does the town have to write grants for this, or how is that gonna work?
So again, we don't have the process laid out, but based on the statute, the money can't come directly to Curry Beach or Carolina or Riceville. It has to go to the entities who operate the public transportation system, and the public transportation system is Way Transit, which the city and the county operate through an interlocal agreement. But certainly, the process would include having the various towns submit the projects that they have that they're interested in having funded.
I meant where it relates to bicycle and pedestrians, because this money will also could possibly fund projects here for our bicycle and pedestrian projects.
Right, and that's what I'm referring to as well.
Okay, and when would, I know that has to go through other red tape and voting and approval, when do you expect this increase to happen if it's passed, you know, in November? How much longer would it take before we would see that increase?
So, assuming that the ballot question was asked and was passed by the voters, let's say that the Board of Commissioners pass a resolution sometime in December. The state needs, I think they said, 90 days to essentially do their process, to educate businesses and things like that. So I would anticipate that it would begin being collected in April.
Okay, and then at what point I know, again, you have to figure it all out, but at what point would those funds start to be available? I mean, is it going to take a year, 2 years, 3 years? Is it, you know, when a town like Curie Beach applies, or however they write a grant or whatever, you know, send your proposal for what projects we already have in place that we'd like to do, how long is that process going to take? I mean, would it take a year, two, five, or is it going to take 10 years before we might receive funds for the things in our own community?
Yeah, that's a great question, and unfortunately the answer is, you know, we really don't know. It will depend on how much sales tax is collected and how much we actually receive. It's going to take a year for us to get, you know, the original. So, yeah, that's really hard to say.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, I think we need to move on, so thank you all.
One more.
Okay, John, but I do want to get going here. We got a lot of meeting to go.
I know, I got family at home too. My fear is this is going to be the first quarter cent. We're going to get less and less tax revenue from gasoline because of going to green energy and battery operated cars and things like that. And the gas tax is transportation. So as we lose that, and one of my, I don't know about a fear, but I could see easily that this idea bubbled up from a discussion of we're losing gasoline tax. Here's another way to implement a tax for transportation issues. And I don't know where all that's headed. I just see this as opening Pandora's box, and it's
Well, it would take state legislation to get any additional authorization for sales tax even brought up. At this point, this Article 43 sales tax is the only sales tax that's authorized for New Hanover County that we have not levied. So by law, this is the only sales tax that's left to levy.
Yeah, for this story.
Yeah, just make one additional point that NCDOT spends 95% of its dollars or so, like, is that the latest number, on highway expenditures. And as you saw in the docket of projects that were up on the screen tonight, we are not talking about highway projects. These are alternate forms of transportation to round out a broader transportation future for the region. So it's not a replacement, it's an augmentation of other means for folks to get around.
Well, I'm the town's representative to Mike's organization, the WMPO, so I go through that every month also, and that's a little bit where my questions are coming from. I see both sides of this, I think. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you. Okay, moving on.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down. Appreciate it. Committee business. Do we have a bike ped report at all?
Bike ped committee did not meet because of vacation schedules and a lot of people out of town, so we'll meet in August.
Okay.
I will say to that committee, sir, that because I was at the MPO, the bike ped plan was presented at the MPO last month, and a resolution was drafted and approved by the MPO in support of the Curie Beach bike ped.
Thank you. I did. I got a letter to that effect from Mike, I believe. Community Center Committee. Community Center Committee did not meet summer months, so there's nothing to report there. Historical Preservation Commission and the Historical Preservation Committee. Craig Galbraith said there was nothing to report at this point in time, no changes, no petitions. The Land Use Plan Committee, I believe we've completed. Has that been completed now?
That's with the state for review.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Counselor. The Marketing Committee.
As you noticed in the consent agenda, Ms. Gibson resigned from that committee due to her jobs and And we elected a new chairman, and he is sitting up back there, Mr. Bates. Appreciate his volunteering for that position.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Could you appreciate people getting involved? Thank you. Parking Committee. Parking Committee is moving along quite well. We're ahead of last year. We expect to have a good year. If the weather would cooperate, we might have a great year. But from that perspective, there's fewer people that have brought forward tickets or complaints, and things are actually running pretty smoothly in that area at this point in time. Planning and Zoning Commission, Craig Galbraith sent in a note. They did not meet. Therefore, I believe there's nothing to report, Councillor.
That's correct.
Okay. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection, Commissioner Panicali, anything to report there? Or?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, thank you. Stormwater Committee. David, anything new on stormwater?
Yes, sir. Our meeting only, we had two attendees plus the Public Works Director and myself, so nothing to report. We're still waiting on the state to finalize our submissions for our permit, which is still overdue. We're waiting on the state. Thanks, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right. Since the committee business was brief, we'll move on to department head business. First would be administration. Beth, do you have anything to report for Mandy, who is out ill?
We have no updates tonight.
Okay, no actions to report. Building inspections department, John?
I have no updates, sir.
Okay, beyond the report that you filed.
Yes, sir.
All right. The finance department, Harlan?
I just have one thing. I included in the agenda packet just a summary of the proposed purchase of a fire engine that was included in our current year budget. And I just wanted to go over just the specifics of that. I mean, we have received the proposal. It was, prior to that, fully specced out by Chief Kennedy and other members of the fire department. What I wanted to go over is what my recommendations are for actually financing part of it, also taking into account a prepay discount that the vendor is offering. So the actual cost of the fire engine as specced out is $749,459. They are offering a prepay discount of $34,000, which would bring the net cost down to $715,459. So what that prepaid discount means is that we would pay the full cost of the fire engine at the time of order. It would then be guaranteed with a 100% performance bond. And I guess as Chief Kennedy has mentioned in previous budget meetings and everything, the lead time, you know, it's going to be about 2 years from the time we order until we actually get delivery. So taking all that into account, I just want to kind of go through my recommendations based on all of this. I'll start with the prepaid discount. I think we should take advantage of it. It's $34,000. It's about 4.5% of the cost of the fire engine. It would also keep us in line with what we actually budgeted for this purchase.
Did we put the whole expense into this year's budget?
Yes, we did.
We did that originally.
And as part of that, we had included in the budget financing 100% of the cost of the fire engine. So I'd like to kind of modify that just a little bit. Also, looking at how we ended up at the end of the last fiscal year that ended June 30th, funds that we'll be increasing our reserves a little bit. I'm proposing that instead of financing the entire amount, we finance $425,000 of the purchase, the balance being $290,459 we would take from our reserves. I have solicited proposals or bids for financing for $425,000. We have received from two different banks. There I would recommend that we accept the proposal from First Bank for financing the fire engine for 8 years at 3.21%.
Okay.
Arlen, question. Does the local government commission have to approve this? Do we have to let them know? I mean, are they okay with prepay? I guess since there's a 100% bond, it'll be okay, but.
Yeah, and they don't actually have to approve this. Because the financing, the actual principal and interest will be less than $500,000,
In general, Arlen, our earned interest, based on what we can invest in, is incredibly low.
Correct.
Right? In general, what is that? 1.5%?
Not even 1.5%.
So the fact that we would spend $290 on which we would earn less than 1% and make that $34,000, almost 10% of the remaining 400 some thousand, that sounds like an excellent deal to me.
Right. I mean, that was my opinion looking at the whole thing, where I think it would be in our best interest to take advantage of that prepay discount.
Any questions for Arlen, gentlemen?
Is the 3.1% interest rate, is that locked in, or do you have a time?
Well, yeah, the 3.21. Yeah, I think it. We do, but I also have a commitment that we can close this very quickly.
Okay.
I think the that rate is good. For 30 days from the date of the letter, which was the proposal, which was July 7th. But we can actually close this probably. I've spoken to the our person at the bank, and probably within 2 weeks, we can have the receivable funded. So.
Okay. So.
You need a motion or just consent?
And the bank is okay too with the that the collateral is going to be a 100% performance bond. So that's already been discussed.
We need a motion.
So. Yeah, we do need a motion. So, okay.
Well, I'll make a motion.
David, you want to go ahead?
No, sir. I'll make resolution 5.24.
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion that we accept finance chair's recommendation to finance the fire engine per option two in his letter that he sent us.
Been approved resolution 22-04.
Okay. I missed that, Beth. What was that? Was that a correction?
You also just need to approve the resolution that was included.
Okay.
It's resolution R-2204.
Okay.
The financing.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a second.
Second.
I'll second.
All right, a motion and a second. Any further questions on that for Arlen? Then all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. There's a little bit of a delay, David, so it sounds like you're almost going in the other direction, but that's fine. Thank you. Thank you, Arlen.
I'm sorry you apologize.
Not a problem.
Just trying to say strict.
Okay. Fire department. Fire chief. Fire chief did. He just stepped out, but he did file his report. All of the department reports are in the agenda package that you can observe on the website. You can see all types of things if you wish to educate yourself, as well as wellness support, fire calls, etc. Public Works. Jimmy.
Yeah, I just want to give council a couple of updates on what Public Works has been working on. Actually, the paving has been completed for this year, so we're working on now, as we're working with McGill back at the lagoon, getting the scope of work and the estimate of cleaning the lagoon out. Should know something by the end of this week. Also, I had mentioned about possibly cleaning the ditches this year, so I asked TNH Construction to come in. They came in last Friday, and I haven't got an estimate back with that, but I just want to let you guys know what the department's been working on.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Jimmy, a couple questions. The paving for this current budget year, Would you get us a list of the streets? Because I couldn't find it in any of the material from the retreat. Would you get us a list of what you're going to propose to pay this year? I think several of us are getting questions on that.
I thought I shot you an email, but I'll get it together.
I had another question for you. Yeah, it'll come to mind later on. I'll call you.
All right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Recreation Department, Nikki.
Nikki's under the weather today. She said that all programs are going well this summer. Sean would have been here, but he's covering for a program down at Oceanfront Park tonight. So she was hoping to be back towards the end of the week.
Okay. And there's revenue coming in from the rental of the community center.
Yeah, she said everything's going quite well this summer.
Okay.
Our numbers for this you don't think about how people really appreciate like the story time program we have down at Oceanfront Park, but we're having 150 plus every Tuesday every Wednesday for that program. So we've had good weather for the market too. That helps out a lot.
Except
for this week.
Okay.
Well, maybe tomorrow.
Okay. So we've gone through the department reports. And again, you can check them on the website in the agenda package in the details. Now going on to old business. Continued discussion on dogs on the beach. Mr. Panicelli.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. So I took the opportunity after our last town council meeting to do a little deeper dive into the issue of dogs on the beach and whether or not it was something that we should, whether changing our current ordinance was something that we should consider here in the town. We had several very good comments at the last presentations at the last town council meeting, well thought out reasons why, mostly they were pro changing the ordinance. I think that's just a portion of the number of residents in town, obviously. We have had this ordinance in town, as far as I can figure out now, for 20-something years. I think it goes back. I talked to Commissioner Hegler, and he told me that this ordinance was in place when he was a lifeguard. And I don't want to ask him how long ago that was, but I think
more than 20 years ago. I promise you that.
More than 20 years ago. So we don't have an exact date. there have been very good reasons for modifying the ordinance that have been presented. We'll go through that, as well as reasons why we should stick with what we currently have. And what I would like to do at the end of this is, I think we have three options. We could consider it at tonight's meeting, or we can, again, we will not, just to let everyone know, it's not going to change this year. So if we're going to change the ordinance, it would be for the next season. We're talking about summertime dogs on the beach, right? So we're not necessarily in a bind where we need to make a decision right away, though we can. I want to make it clear. Why do we want to modify the ordinance? Well, the biggest request, the largest number of responses that I've gotten in talking to residents and visitors in the island is to, an opportunity to exercise your dogs and for the owners to get exercise. It's a wonderful opportunity to walk the beach. The existing rules are confusing. Carolina Beach has a set of rules allowing dogs in the morning and the evening. The state park beach has the ability to have dogs year-round at the beach. There's a significant change in attitude towards dogs. They're more of a family member now than they have ever been. I think the last 20 years or so, there's been a change in attitude. I know when I was growing up, that's more than 20 years ago, dogs were often in dog houses and they were outside pets. They weren't part of the family as they are now. There's been a large increase in dog ownership. We can consider being consistent with other beach towns. I'll show you that we are not consistent with most of the towns in North Carolina and South Carolina. I was looking today at South Carolina. We have an ordinance that says we cannot have dogs on the beach for 6 months of the year. That is abused, even though the ordinance is in place. And that 6 months is believed by many to be excessive in what's going on. Beth, if you change the slide for me, I can go look. Now, what are the objections? Well, the biggest objection that we hear from is dog waste, and that is primarily for dog owners walking their dogs on the beach that don't pick up after their dogs, and we all see it. We can't ignore it. It is there. The second most common reason why people are objecting to changing the ordinance is uncontrolled dogs. These are dogs that can be off-leash. These can be dogs that can be on leash, but no one's holding the leash, which is a problem that we have. It can be dogs that are on excessively long leashes. We have an ordinance in town that says 15-foot leash. Sometimes it's kind of hard to control a dog that's on a 15-foot leash. If it takes off and starts running, it's hard to hold that leash. Dogs bark, and they can get aggressive with other dogs, and there have been incidents that I've been told of dog fights on the beach. And then heat is it's a welfare issue. In the summertime, we're only talking about the summer here. Nobody wants to walk a dog in the middle of the day, summertime here. I mean, the I don't know what the sand temperature gets. Anybody know what it is? 140, 150 degrees. It's hot. I mean, you can't walk on your own bare feet, and dogs can't tolerate that either. And there can be heat issues for the dogs as well. Enforcement can be difficult. The more dogs you have on the beach, the more complaints we're going to get about enforcement, of not following the rules. And one excuse we hear, and one reason, is that we've always had a limit to having dogs on the beach here. And many people like that. Many people like to go to the beach and know that they don't have to be near a dog, they don't have to hear a dog barking, they don't have to worry about stepping in dog waste. So those are the objections that we have to changing any of the ordinances. Next slide, Beth. So we went through, I asked our Shoreline Access Beach Protection Committee to double check on this and look at all the ordinances through the state of North Carolina. So almost every beach town we've gone through, we've looked at it. And you can just go through, if you look at any place you want, the majority allow dogs on the beach year round with no restrictions on time. There are five or six towns that have a time restriction. Right? Most common, it's before 9 a.m. Or after 6 p.m. Carolina Beach is after 5 p.m. And the only towns on the coast of North Carolina that have a complete ban, summertime ban, we're talking about summertime bans now, are Curie Beach itself and Wrightsville Beach. So if you look at the pie chart, it's always fun to put a little pie chart together, about 90% of the towns allow dogs on the beach in the summertime. That's consistent with South Carolina. Quite honestly, it's consistent with most of the states that border the coast, East Coast or West Coast. Now, are there restrictions that we haven't talked about? Bird sanctuaries, preserves, many of those private islands and private preserves do not allow dogs. That's to protect the bird nesting sites, protect turtles. So there are places, there are a number of other places, you can go online and you can look, and there are places that ban dogs. But those are preserves. They're not public beaches generally that people go to sunbathe, fish, surf, do whatever they're doing, like we do here on Curie Beach. I've talked with all of the department heads in Curie Beach. I've talked with Ocean Safety Director in Carolina Beach that has the temporal ban on dogs, and I've talked to the park ranger, Kit, down at the state park. State Park is mandated through state regulations. They have to allow dogs on the beach. Carolina Beach made a change about 3 years ago to allow dogs during the day. Bottom line, if you ask them and you ask their own department heads in town, if they have their druthers, we'll keep the ban in Curie Beach. Carolina Beach has no major problems. Dog waste is not a major problem. State Park says it's not a major problem, additional dog waste on the beach. You can't quantify it. It's hard to go out there and say, you know, how many dogs are you know, leaving, or how many dog owners, I should say, not the dogs, how many dog owners are leaving waste on the beach. It happens. We've all seen it. Anybody who walks on the beach will see that. Will it be worse if we change the ordinance? There's no way to tell. I can say that responsible dog owners generally pick up their own dog waste, and they pick up the waste of other dogs they see on the beach. If we do change the ordinance, we would try to make arrangements to have dog waste stations along the beach strand. And if we were to make changes, we have to also look at the costs incurred in just changing the signage and the labor to update all of our town printed materials, all our online materials, and the costs associated with the waste stations. So there's a number of factors to consider if we're going to do this, if we're going to make a change. I think the most compelling argument is consistency with other beach towns and consistency here on the on Pleasure Island. We do have an issue with people walking their dogs in Carolina Beach and continuing into Curie Beach. Some of them don't know that they've passed into Curie Beach. We have a sign up, but it's up by the dunes. It's the only place we can put a sign. If you're down by the water, you can't see that sign when you're walking down on the beach. Ocean Rescue, police department here in town, again, it's better for them to be able to enforce. It makes it so no gray area, no dogs on the beach, dogs on the beach. So that's something to be considered in town. There's no clear-cut answer. I can't come here and say we should absolutely do this or we should not do this. But I will present the three options, and we can consider that here on the council. So the three options I've mentioned already, Beth, I think are on the last slide. We keep the existing ordinance. It's been in place a long time. We shorten the no dogs on the beach season. All right, we currently have 6 months, which many people think may be excessive. Shoulder months, we're looking at April, September. It's questionable whether that is a necessary ban during those months. Many towns that implement a time restriction, that time restriction usually goes in place either Memorial Day or from Memorial Day to Labor Day, or a time certain, because those dates can fluctuate and those are busy weekends. It depends on what you say is your date. So time restrictions often go in place from May 20th to September 10th, or some date certain that you can publish and put there. If we were to go to time-restricted dogs on the beach, really our only option would be to match what Carolina Beach is doing. It would just create more difficulty in terms of enforcement for our own police department and Ocean Rescue Crew. Should mention that Carolina Beach has instituted beach rangers this year. They have beach rangers that patrol the beach from when the lifeguards come on duty to the lifeguards leave. And they have three part-timers that ride the beach and have the ability this year to issue citations. And if we were to go to something like a time-restricted ordinance in Curie Beach, we might want to consider a beach ranger. they're part-timers, with definitely with the ability to write tickets and enforcement along those lines. So, any questions from the council or from the audience?
Well, I would, I thank you for the work on this. Let's go through council for some inputs. Anybody want to volunteer to go first?
Oh, it's a question.
Sure.
Yes, Joe.
Could you combine the last two bullets and do a shorter period and have time restricted during that shorter period?
Yes, you could. You could do the time restriction the same 6 months we have now, or we could do the shorter period.
Anything? I'll go. Dennis, I appreciate the work you've done. You know, I thought the people that came and talked to us were very respectful and had a very passionate appeal to us about their about asking us to change this ordinance. I don't own a dog right now, but I have been a dog owner. I know that I would never take my dog to the beach in the middle of the day under any circumstances because it is too hot. But some people, I mean, I've actually sat down on the beach before and a lady had a little small dog in her little, like a baby carriage thing on the beach. It was way too hot for a little dog to be down there. So we got to, in some ways, that bothers me a little bit. I've tried to talk to as many of my friends as possible, and I got no clear direction on which way to go. So it's kind of totally don't change it to we would like to see some adjustment to our current rules, but nobody's given me a clear feeling on how to go. I don't have a problem if we change it. But I'm not sure yet if I'm comfortable with what that change is, whether we shorten the dates or whether we just follow Carolina Beach. I'm not sure yet.
So. You know, a couple of suggestions. I mean, you know, one suggestion was one issue for us is our parking ordinance, our paid parking goes to 5 p.m. And we have noticed there's been an influx of visitors who come in to avoid having to pay for parking. So we tend to actually have more people coming in later in the day. That may attract more people with dogs coming in at 5 o'clock and something. It's been suggested by a few people that I've talked with that we perhaps talk with Carolina Beach and see if they'd be willing to change their ordinance to 6 or 7 o'clock rather than 5 p.m. Difficulty there is once they've made a decision to go back and make it, even if it's just marginally more restrictive. Enforcement is an issue. It's an issue at the south end, it's an issue at the north end. That's why Carolina Beach went to the beach rangers, so that they have someone there rather than lifeguards, rather than the police department patrolling the beaches to enforce. And it's not just dogs as an enforcement issue. We have an issue with holds on a beach. And one of the things I should consider as a council, we should think about our holes on the beach ordinance, deep holes can be a real danger. But enforcement is difficult in this day and age, is that whether the lifeguards inform someone on the beach with a dog or whether our beach patrol, police patrol, informs someone. More often than not, the response is service dog.
Can I ask,
go ahead.
Brandon, can you write tickets if you're not sworn? Can you write a citation if you're not sworn?
Ordinances, you can.
Yes, okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, Carolina Beach initially didn't allow their beach rangers. That was a problem they had, and they kind of dropped that program at one point. You know, they instituted it and then dropped it. This year they went to allowing them to write tickets. Now, again, these aren't law enforcement officers. These are, you know, other people that you would bring in. You'd have to decide in town if we were to do that, whether that would be part of responsibility of the police department or Ocean Rescue or some other.
Yeah, have a lot of the detailed program. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not proposing that.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. But that gives us more things. Thank you.
Yeah, and But enforcement is important in all cases. I know we've had comments, at the last meeting about, and I get these all the time, you know, there's dogs on the beach, I see the patrol officer drive by, I see the lifeguards go by and they don't say anything. And that's not true. The lifeguards are all instructed to inform individuals that dogs are not allowed on the beach. If they're claiming that they're a service dog, they're not going to stop every time they drive by and say, you know, is that still a service dog? All right? Mm-hmm. Same with the police department. They're not, you know, once they're informed it's a service dog, there's limit to things they can ask and say, and they're going to let it go. So when people have come up to me and said, well, I, you know, there's dogs on the beach, we are enforcing. We are doing our best. The Ocean Rescue and the police patrols are letting people know that they can't do it. Citations are written occasionally, and they should be. Now, we've had lots of other suggestions. I've got several emails. Again, emails that I've gotten, I've got about a dozen emails. Slightly in favor of changing the ordinance. I would say 60-40, 70-30, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. In favor, but those are the people who are dog owners and they're interested in
taking it. I received an email, I'm assuming we all received it, but yeah, from a dog owner. And I respect that.
I will repeat what I said last meeting when we were discussing the issue, and that, one, I don't think it's fair to the dog. And I think this is a person's interest, not the dog's interest. Because the dog doesn't care where it walks. I truly believe that. And dogs like fire hydrants, trees, bushes, and things to smell. And that's not on that stretch of sand. And so if you want to be nice to your dog and walk it where it wants to be walked, that's not on the beach.
I think we've got dogs. I see several people here who are in favor of dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with that, John. I think dogs do, like, I've had dogs, and my dogs love the beach. They love playing with the waves, even on a leash. So we can debate that later. But I also have to mention, I think I mentioned this last meeting, is you walk your dog on the street, you're going to see a lot of signs that say, don't walk, let your dog in my yard.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy sometimes, and the streets are hot. As the sand gets hot, the asphalt gets just as hot or hotter down the beach. But we wouldn't propose. There is no way that I think anybody wants in the summer in Curie Beach to have dogs during the daytime. It's just not a reasonable thing. It's not safe for the dogs, and it's not fair to all the people on the beach at that time. So we're really looking at this point of sort of with regard to dogs being leashed or dogs attacking or frightening people. And you know, dog attacks are rare. There was one this year down at the South End State Park, a serious dog attack. Dog was off leash. But most of the time, it's people are afraid. Dogs can't bark. Dogs can look aggressive, and people are afraid of that. And dogs can get into a little bit of an argument with other dogs on the beach, even when they're leashed. Another ordinance we might consider is our 15-foot dog leash ordinance, that provision in the ordinance. We might want to shorten that to 6 feet rather than 15 feet. So those are things we can consider as well.
I have a request, if whatever you end up doing, because I'm right there on Atlantic Avenue, I recognize the residents and the regular people because I see them out on the beach all the time. A lot of vacationers are now traveling with dogs. More and more places are dog friendly to stay. During the day, many times when I see fulfilled people on the beach or coming off the beach, I'll say, hey, in case you didn't know, we don't allow dogs on the beach between these months. And, you know, whether they're telling the truth or not, I would say 100% of them that I speak to say, oh, we didn't know about that. And for example, last night, I took my trash out. It was about 10:30, and I went out to walk, you know, on the beach access at the end of M to look at the moon over the water, like I do pretty regularly. And there was a family coming off the beach with two huge dogs.
and I didn't recognize them, not that they're not local, but I said, hey guys, just to let you know, dogs are not allowed on the beach during these months. Uh-huh. And they said, oh, we didn't know that. And I said, well, there's signs posted at each access, which is what I say. I've probably said it in 10 years, I've probably said it 500 times. I'm not exaggerating. The signs that we have, in my opinion, most people don't look at them. I see people walking their dog on the beach in the summer season. They don't look at the signs. And I think a lot of people are telling the truth. I didn't know. So if we're going to do anything to change and we have to spend all the money for the signs, can we please make the print on the signs bigger somehow? I don't know if that would help people see it or not, but it is small, and I don't know if changing the way the sign is, or bigger, or orange bright letters, I don't know. But, you know, I'm kind of tired of people saying, oh, I didn't know, and I think it's the truth sometimes.
I think occasionally it is the truth, but most of the time it's willful ignorance.
Okay.
There is no way, you do not know. If you're renting here in Curie Beach, the rental agency should inform you. If you're coming in, you should look at the town website. You should look at least the first time you walk on a beach and look at the signs. We have rip current signs. We have all the ordinances. No fires, no cars. No, I mean, and we have signs posted at the entry and at almost every act. I mean, we don't have them at every access point coming off the beach because they get washed away, and we're constantly replenishing these things. Those signs are fairly large signs that you could see from a distance that there's no dog sign. So,
but our no dog sign at most of, if not all, accesses is that on the left side down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will start at the top and start reading, and they're almost all the signs are, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. They're not do things.
Well, we've had a complaint. We have a dog with a big arrow through on the sign, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to see. And we've had complaints saying, well, that's not very friendly.
It's not friendly.
But people don't pay attention to signs.
I don't.
Look, I mean, you could ask, you know, Ocean Rescue, you could ask our police department. You know, the most common excuse we get whenever there's violations, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I did. And they know.
Okay.
And we have it in all of our literature. It's David, everywhere.
David, have comments?
I think that regardless of the signs, during season, my opinion, I'm not a fan of dogs on the beach. I'm not a fan of dogs running into dunes. I'm not a fan of their owners chasing them into the dunes. I'm not a fan of them scaring children. I'm not a fan of dog bites. I'm not a fan of our lifeguards pulling dogs apart instead of having their eyes focused on horizon and who's in the water. Now, should it be for an overly extended period of time? I don't know. But I would tell you that I am more worried about the downside than I am of the benefit side. Now, I guess... I know David will weigh in with whatever his thoughts may be, but I would say that if people wish to walk their dogs on the beach in the morning when it's cooler, they could walk them on the street in the morning when it's cooler. It's just the way that I happen to feel about this issue. But there are four men up here, and they're going to make their own decisions. David, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so, I mean, Lisa and I have three dogs. I love dogs, or at least my wife loves dogs, right? I love my wife, so I love her dog. And she would love to take the down in the afternoon dog, or early morning dog in the summer. We had someone run on this issue, and I know that particular candidate had other issues as well, but it was the lowest vote getting in the town. For me personally, I'm okay either way. I don't have a strong opinion either way, so I think that the town would be fine if there were dogs allowed early mornings and late evenings, and the town would be fine if they weren't allowed, right? So it's really hard for me to figure out. So I looked at the email, that you guys referenced, and it's pretty much mixed, right? So I know that the dog lovers generated pro let's put dog emails, but then I got a bunch of other emails that I assume the rest of you got that said, no, we don't want this. And so, I mean, for me, it's more what is the citizen security fault versus what is the right answer, because I think either one are fine, honestly, right? Look, I appreciate what Dennis did of pulling up all the information from the other towns, right? So I was very interested when you went through that, and it showed that in the area there are two towns, Hunts and Rifle Beach, that don't allow dogs and stuff. And then the rest of the towns, most of them let whatever you want to do, and then a couple limited to hours in the summertime, right? So there's a mix of beaches in the town. I don't think that it's an issue of people are going to come here or not come here for the issue, honestly. I don't think it's a sign issue. I don't know that it's a safety issue. So it's really, what does our citizens want? And I don't know that I know the answer, right? I think it's 50-50. I think if one of you proposed a change or proposed to keep it and the other one accepted that, I would probably be with whatever. I'm in the middle, right? So I really don't have a strong opinion either way. And I'm sure my wife will give me my right opinion later. But for me personally, I don't know that the town has given me a signal either way on which way to go, and that's where I'm at. So I don't have a proposal for the council, but I'll probably go with whatever somebody recommends something, someone says, and I'll probably be with the crowd, whichever way it goes.
Well, okay, what I was going to say is each of us has kind of stated a position here. I don't think continuing, you guys may not like this, and there may be no motion, I don't know. But from my perspective, I don't think there's any reason to continue this. We have people out here interested in the dogs. We have people out here who have other feelings of the dogs. If there is a motion to be made on a particular solution and seconded, we will vote tonight. If there is not, well, then I guess you won't vote, but we will be rehashing this again. So,
all right, let me.
Do go forward with a motion and there's a consensus to change something, clearly the motion and the vote itself doesn't amend the code. Legal will bring you some text amendments that are consistent.
I can't hear that first. If they get a microphone, please.
If you vote to change the ordinance, legal will have to draft the changes and bring it back to council for official action on those text amendments.
So you're looking for consensus now?
Consensus and instruction.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Are there any options for a voice from out here?
Sorry?
Are there any options for a voice from out here?
Well, I think we've heard from yourself in speaking and in notes. I think we've heard from the others who are here in coffee with the mayor, in speaking and in notes. So that's why, from my personal opinion, I think we should give you an answer.
I just wanted to commend Dennis. I mean, I think he
did a good job.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did a good job.
I have to make one comment, and I'll keep it brief.
Sure.
A lot of the things that you mentioned that were problems are problems with people too. I live.
Hey, Mark, I'm sorry. Can you come to the microphone? Just I have a lot of people on the.
I'll keep it quick.
Please make it a minute, because we need to move on. And we've discussed this.
I live on the beach, and a lot of the problems you mentioned are with people too. I mean, I chase people out of the dunes. I chase dogs. I mean, I talk to people about dogs and all of those same issues. People leaving trash. I mean, we could ban people and solve some problems that way too, but we don't want to do that. My point is, the only thing I'm going to ask is if you decide not to match what most of the other beaches are doing and get rid of the 20-year-old law or ordinance, you've got to figure out a way to enforce it. I mean, the residents here are watching people every day use the beach with their dogs. So you got to figure out a way to...
He has a recommendation that goes beyond what we are doing today, which is a temporary police officer riding the beach. So, gentlemen, where do we stand? Is there a recommendation here for us to make consensus on? I do not normally...
Let me revise my remarks. See, if you're going, let's do it by motion as opposed to...
Okay. All right.
I'd be willing to make a motion.
Okay.
David, have a comment? Did David have a comment?
Did you have a comment, David? Because Dennis was going to make a motion.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right.
I'll make a motion that we change the ordinance to allow time-restricted dogs on the beach from in the summer, from what is our current time frame, which is April 1st through September 30th.
Is that from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m.?
Well, I think we have to... unfortunately, we will have to align with Carolina Beach. Otherwise, I think it would create problems.
Perfect.
So, what was the dates on your motion?
Our current dates are April 1st to September
30th. So, leaving those current dates. I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So, gentlemen, that requires a vote. Any last comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, in favor.
All opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Nay.
Or nay.
3-2. That's it.
So, I'll bring you those draft text amendments next month.
Thank you. Thank you, Counselor. Okay, moving on.
So just a reminder to the people in the audience, it's not changed until we change the ordinance at the next meeting. So please, while you celebrate, don't violate the rules and get a ticket.
Changes next April.
I would propose that we change it as
when you get the text amendments next month, there'll be an ordinance that'll have an effective date on it. If the consensus is to make it effective for 2023, is that where you all are meeting?
I thought that's what we were discussing, yes.
That's what the briefing said.
Yes, there are issues we have to deal with. We have signage issues, a number of things.
Fine. I'll do it in that time frame.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Some time to sell.
Well, you know what?
New business. No business, no new business on the agenda. We have plenty of old stuff to clean up here. For the mayor updates, I think we covered the items pretty much on everyone's mind. Commissioner items. Any items, David?
No, I would just say, one, please, if you haven't taken your booster, do. So I am at home because I am in COVID quarantine and coming back strong, but I'm glad I have my booster. So as emergency manager, I'd say please take a shot. And then two, remember we start hurricane season, so make sure if you haven't done all your appropriate preparations, please do that. We had one scare with a tropical storm 2 weeks ago, and season's still going on. Thank you.
Dennis, any commissioner items?
Nothing, just a... Again, as I mentioned, I think we need to look at some of the other beach ordinances if we want to do revisions to those, especially the holes on the beach ordinance. At some point in this year, we should revisit this ranger.
That sounds logical. How about you?
I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
Okay, Alan. How about you, John?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, so that
like
puts
a motion
us
that we go into a closed session for attorney-client privileges per the North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11.
Have a motion.
Second.
All in favor to...
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Going into closed session.
Aye.